Howdy, y'all. Welcome to Yarns and Tales. Well, it is Thursday, the 20th of February, at the point of this recording. It's my 61st episode. So, to everybody who's been with me, thank you, guys. To anybody who's just hearing me out the first time, welcome aboard. I had an interesting comment got filtered back to me. A friend of my husband's was listening to the stream that my husband, he runs my podcast, and the fella was listening to it, and he was like, "A job interview and lunch. This is going to be so boring." And then he got to listening. And it tickled me because he told my husband, he goes, "Her voice is so mesmerizing. She made an interview and lunch sound interesting. I couldn't stop listening." Well, Shay, thank you. That was a compliment. It is not easy talking about things sometimes to make them sound funny. Or just interesting, you know? So, I have a gifted something or another floating around my head. Thank you. So, anyway. Last week, the podcast was, "And the next project is." Well, I finally figured out what my next project was. It was to finish one of my old ones. You remember that little amigurumi critter I kept working on? Well, we're back to working on that. I have a little body, roughly 3 inches tall. It has a tail. It's done in khaki, remember? It has a single crochet chain stitched, whip stitched tail. And it's somewhere in its life. This poor little critter probably got it broken because I pulled one stitch a little snug, and so it made it bend awkward. So this poor little mouse, at least I'm going to presume it's a mouse because of the cute little ears. And when you see a picture of it, you will totally get it. Because I've already put the ears on it. And then I started taking some leftover snippets of that same khaki color. And I'm going to put a little bow. And it's going to be a little girl mouse. Because she's going to have this cute little ponytail. So, yeah. So today, I'm going to sew on her 4 feet. That's my project today. Is, you know, finish up some other projects. But, as far as starting new ones, I have started last night. I started a new one, and it is one of my glove patterns, fingerless glove patterns. And the reason I got started on a new pair was my Etsy store. I had a woman buy a pair of them. This particular pattern that I created and I'm doing up again. She fell in love with them, and she's a beginner knitter. And so it inspired me to pick up some, you know, my stuff and get busy again. Because, hey, she really, really loved these. Well, she and I got into a further conversation. Oh, but yeah, my buttonhole thumb gloves is the new project. So for a quick rundown, and this is only for those who are listening. Otherwise, I'm going to PDF it, and you can buy the pattern on my Etsy store. I just got to get around to PDFing it, you know? So anyway, you cast on 49. I use worsted weight, and I use a number 5 needle. Straights, by the way. Hang on. I need a swig of my tea. It is pollen season now here in the South. Remember I was just telling you about how cold it was Today is supposed to be 80 degrees in February. My poor red truck is yellow. My husband's little black car, yeah, is very yellow. Anyway, project. I'm going to be on tangents. I'm having a pretty good day today, even though I had a terrible night. Having a pretty good day today, so I'm going to be all over the board being a chit-chatter. And I have my windows up behind me to kind of adjust that closed-in feeling, because right now the wind is blowing, the sun is out, there's a breeze coming in the windows. Oh my gosh, it is so springtime and so beautiful. Because that air coming through is coming through some shady spots, and it's just perfect for South Georgia. So anyway, you cast on 49 with your fives, with worsted weight, and then you one by one rib for, see, what was it? Pulling it out of my brain. 42 rows, then 16 stitches in. I think it's 16. No, my math is off. There's, anyway, halfway. You mark halfway. And you're going to bind off 7 stitches. And then you're going to finish the row. And then you're going to, when you come back across where you reach the 7, you're going to cast those 7 back on again. And this creates the buttonhole thumb hole for your gloves. And then you keep going for another 12 or 13 rows, roughly. And then you rib one, one by one rib in bind off so that it's gentle. You don't want it stiff and whatnot. And then you're going to take and you can fold it in half long ways. You're going to whip stitch it up. Ta-da! Glove. Super easy. Super quick. Well, it's quick if you will quit waving your arms around all over the place when you talk, kind of like the way I do, which is the reason when I get to talking, I don't get a whole lot done. I have to sit quiet if I'm really going to get a lot done. Like, you know, me, recorded shows, hubby, couch, yarn. Perfect therapy situation. So anyway, that's my new project that I'm working on. Is I am working on a pair of my, I haven't named them yet though. I like to name my patterns, but my initial naming, how do you name yours if you're one of those who likes to create patterns? How do you name it? I mean, my initial experimental patterns get named by the yarn I use. You know, it's color, it's type. Sometimes it's the month I make it in. That's how I used to do when I was creating preemie booties and hats and different designs and whatnot. That was, oh good golly, that was 15 years ago. I would invent and create them, I would name them for the month that I worked them, because it'd take me a whole month to get these, the details of it worked out, and then be able to duplicate it after, you know, writing it down. So I have a lot of patterns in my notebook that, you know, I have talked about before. It may say October 2K something and other booties. Or, you know, it'll be a date. It may say 9-2K02 hat. And then it may have that with knitted hat, crocheted hat. But that's how I would name the prototypes. But once I produce it for sale, I like to give it a cute name. Like my preemie, my newborn simple socks that I like to knit, the ones for straights, I named them Maddie. Mattie. And that's how they're listed in my Etsy shop on Etsy. Duh. But I named it Maddie because they're gender neutral and it could be short for Matilda or Matthew. But Maddie. Or it could be the fact that I named it for my cat, Maddie. It works out either way, though. But it's a simple, you change up the gender of the sock with the color. I mean, for real. It's that easy. So, I'm debating on what to name this glove. Because I want it to be, because it's simple. So, I don't need some, off the top. This glove is the Isabella Alexandria Cleopatra. No. It is not that complicated. I do not need a complicated name for a complicated pattern. Y'all get what I'm saying, don't you? You know me. Complex and simple. Got to find a balance somewhere in the middle. So anyway, that's my new thing I'm working on. Is I got started last night, and I'm already about 2 inches into it. And that's 13 rows in. 13. That's my lucky number. But yes, and this pattern is pretty much a one size fits all kind of hand pattern. From teenage girls to hands that have seen a lot of action. Is that polite enough to say wore out hands? And there are days. Really? Oh. Okay. I warned y'all, tangenting today. And then I promise back to Amigurumi Mouse. Okay. This is me and I say it works because it worked for me. It might not work for you, but you might want to give it a try. When you work with your needles and your crochet, and sometimes the next morning or by that afternoon, your knuckles hurt like bloody heck, you know? Well, something I found that made my knuckles not hurt and be stiff and whatnot in the morning after a long day of sewing and knitting or crocheting is to drink several teacups of, I prefer cold, you can do warm or room temp if you want, but I prefer cold, water with 2 tablespoons of lemon juice. Yeah. That's really, really going to be tart. But lemon alkalizes in the body. And when your body alkalizes, inflammation is reduced. So your joint aches and pains ease off the next day. So you might want to try it is just drink lots of heavy lemon water. Not to mention the fact that it is awesome for diet and digestion and whatnot. Oh, yeah. Told y'all. Feeling good today. Even better. Okay, damn it. I got to get back to my mouse. Lady in Walmart. We got to talking. My oldest boy went with me today. And we got to talking about education and whatnot. And, well, that's a whole other tangent. The point of this one is age. And I commented, I said, I'm 43 and I feel every bit of 18. And I was talking about, living right and eating right as opposed to all this bad food. She looked at me, she says, you are not 43. I said, I am. I said, my son here is 21. And she dropped her jaw and she was like, no, he isn't. I said, yeah, he's 21. She goes, he does not look it. She says, you certainly do not look 43. I said, well, thank you. I certainly do not feel it. I said, but it has everything to do with keeping your blood pressure low. And if your body temp stays a little low, you kind of like walking around in stasis. You just don't age. And she got tickled. So then she's like, well, how old's your other boy? I said, 19. She said, you kidding me? I said, no. She goes, I wouldn't have figured him for that old. But, you know, he's like 5'9". He's taller than I am. I'm 5'8". But she couldn't believe, you know, she's, no. I said, yeah, my daughter said she'll be 17 in April. And she just like, mm-mm. No, 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 no. Your kids are, they do not look that old. You do not look that old. And I said, well, thank you, ma'am. And it is, it trips people out. When they look at me, they're like, there's no way. And I'm like, yeah, there is. And I can thank my mother for this. It, her genetic pooling, the women in her family, they don't look old until, you know, like, forever. So, yay me. I'm feeling very froggy today. I feel great today. And hopefully this infectiousness that I just feel bursting out of my mouth today will infect you with feeling good. Or I'm going to annoy the teetotal turds out of you. And you're just going to be like, shut up already. And I'm just going to smile at you and go, why? I feel great. You should feel great. Why? Because I'm Southern. And I said so, dang it. You know, that kind of thing. Anyway, the inspiration for the gloves. I knew there was a point to my story. So, the gloves. The person who bought the gloves from my Etsy, we've been having conversations, or convos, as they're known on Etsy. She ran into a problem, and I posted this question on the Facebook page for Yat yesterday. How many of you have encountered knitting snobs? You know, those who are so far advanced in their skill that it is beneath them to teach a beginner any basic steps or give them hints or tricks to help learn the craft better. How many of you have run, because this beautiful woman, I call beautiful by the way someone's soul is, not how the exterior of their body is. This, sorry about that. This beautiful woman, her local yarn shop, you know, this is supposed to be, your LYSs are supposed to be a sanctuary where you can go to for the yarnage, you know, and the fibers and just camaraderie and just, you know, dadgummit, that is supposed to be a place of wondrous, it's a temple for the yarnaholic, you know, that's just dadgummit, that's what it's supposed to be. She goes seeking help. The owner turned her away, saying, no, I can help you with this little bit, but what you're asking for, I don't do. She even offered to pay the owner to teach her. The owner declined, no, I'm not interested. So she asked some of the bevy of women that were in this same, you know, yarn shop. And she had seen them in there before, I believe. And, you know, she asked any of those if they could help her. And they were all like, no, 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 no. All this kind of attitude. And it was so funny because this woman, she said, she called them old biddies. I cracked up. I started laughing at my computer when I was seeing this in the conversation we were having. Hey, those old biddies. And I just got so tickled. But it's snobbery in the knitting. Yeah, you might be faster and you might be very accurate, but you got to stop and think. What were you like when you first picked up those needles? Did you encounter someone who was helpful, or did you have the poor issuance of running into a snob, a knitting snob? Now, I understand yarn snobs. That's a whole different category here. Yarn snobbery actually reflects in the quality of the work you're producing. So, yeah, you do have to develop somewhat of a snobbish attitude depending on what you're making. Practicality versus affordability versus the object. It gets all kind of nerdy math head in going on with there. But we're talking about personalities. You know, we're talking about everyone who has learned should be qualified to teach it. You know, if you don't want to be paid for it, you need to be able to explain it to somebody enough to get them started. Just show them. If they are so lazy they want to be spoon-fed, then yeah, you've run into a problem and this person doesn't really want to learn. They want to be entertained. But you have those out there that they want to know, they want to learn. And as an experienced knitter or crocheter, you know the meditative benefits of, yeah, being patient. How it reflects on the tension of your stitches. How knitting changes your mood. How your mood changes your knitting or your crocheting. So, yeah, it's this very organic spiritual experience that these women were denying this new knitter who has grandchildren. Not everybody learns when they're 12 like I did, you know. My first encounters with it, I was going to make the effort of sharpened pencils and no clue what casting on was. I just saw Betty and Wilma do it in On the Flintstones. And even then, if you'll look at how they were knitting, that was so wrong. I tried to mimic them and the inverted V they were knitting with made no sense because all your stuff would have fallen off. It has to be a different kind. Anyway, if you don't believe me, go back and find some of the episodes. It's hilarious. Pardon me, I need another swig of tea. Okay, so snobbery. Please don't be a knitting snob or crochet snob. This is a... I don't want to sound sappy, but this is a... Being, it's a spiritual thing. It is a meditative thing. It is a relaxing thing. And you should not deny someone else that same thing, you know. I'm still with no success trying to get my husband to learn. He's pretty convinced he does not need to know how to tie knots with sticks. Because that's what he kind of views it like. But I digress. I get off that little soapbox of mine. But do not be a knitting crochet snob. Yarn snobs? Okay, we can get by with that. But like I said, that's kind of a nerdy math equation there of the who's, the what's, and the why's when you are allowed to be a yarn snob. But a knitting snob or a crochet snob? Uh-uh. Everybody had to start somewhere. So, yeah, I am lecturing. Do not be a snob. Don't be an elitist. Everybody had to start somewhere, and everybody had to have a teacher. And when you know your stuff, you are ready to teach it. That's just the way it is. And I say that because I'm a homeschooling mom, and trust me, if you can explain it to someone else, you know your stuff. So if you don't know, talk to yourself out loud. Explain, talk to your shadow. Tell your shadow how to knit. And if you start getting tongue-tied, then maybe you don't know what you thought you knew. You know? Okay. Well, now that I have completely run my mouth about my projects and the knitting and the whatnot, little Miss Mouse here is still going to get her feet sewn on today so I can get a quick picture of it and show y'all, even if she's in partially put together, you know, she will still be a prominent picture in today's podcast. Oh, I did get the pictures posted for Gracie in her spring sweater. They are in the gallery on the website, which is www.revly.me. There I go. My brain is escaping me. That's revlea.me. I also posted two pictures of the knitted chokers that I talked about a month or so back. Anyway, they're the ones that I sent my second son's best friend. So I got pictures of those posted. My days run together, so the digital stuff takes a little longer. It's computer, it's digital. Anyway, I got those posted so y'all can go to the gallery on my website and y'all can take a look at those. I think that covers it. Yeah. Oh, my tea of choice today. I know I always tell y'all what I'm drinking. Today is the kombucha tea that my daughter likes to drink. So that's the tea of choice today. It just seemed to hit the spot. So with all of that, if you guys are sick, I do hope you get well soon. There's some of that stuff you just can't shake when the weather's bad. If you are well, grin it, folks. It really does wig them out. Or it cracks them up or makes, you know, that baby in the buggy passing by, they just sort of look at you and you grin at them. They'll get tickled and the mamas will give you that evil glare like you're going to eat their child. No, do not eat babies. That's like baby toe jam. Not the best. If you're warm, please cool off. I know my Aussies are still a little bit warm. Being sarcastic there. And if you're cold or you're too cool, please warm up. It's, I got the warm air here, but I know a lot of my more northern friends are still building snowmen. So, hey, send some snow down here. I won't mind one bit. I know my daughter won't. So, anyway, what I will leave y'all with was the cutest bumper sticker on a vehicle today as I was walking out of Publix. Politicians, I'm about to screw it up. Politicians and diapers have to be changed for the very same reason. That was it. I cracked up and started laughing. My son was like, "What's so funny?" So I told him, and he didn't see it as funny as I did. But I just looked at him and said, "'Cause they're full of shit, honey." And he was like, "Oh, okay, I get it now." So, yeah, politicians and diapers have to be changed for the very same reason. I'll leave that little funny with you now. Until next week, y'all take care. Thank you for listening. Bye, y'all.